So this guy goes to the doctor for some help. See, now it doesn't help if you guys start groaning before I even start the joke. This could be very serious. Now, come on. Guy goes to the doctor, wants to get some help. He's got a banana in one ear. He's got a carrot in the other. He's got green beans and celery stuck up his nose. He goes to the doctor, can't figure out what's wrong, and the doctor puts her clipboard down and says instantly, you know, I think I know what your main problem is. And the guy goes, what? I didn't hear what? Because he had a carrot and a banana in his ears. He couldn't hear. I think I know what your problem is. She goes, yeah, okay, well, what is it? Wow, that was fast. What's your problem? Well, looks to me like you haven't been eating properly. That's it. That's all I got. I know. It's good. Bada bing. Waka, waka, waka. Yeah? Today we're going to talk about Jesus and miracles. It reminds me of this story. It was hunting season. There were two guys that hunted all the time. They loved to go duck hunting. They had their rifles going out. But one guy, he bragged all the time about what a great shot he was. Oh, that's all he did. He just talked about how he never missed, always got his duck. And all of a sudden, this duck flies by. He has his gun ready. Gets going, boom, and the duck just keeps on going, unscathed, untouched. And the guy just stands there for a while looking at it. And then he turns to his friend and goes, well, friend, let me tell you something. What you are seeing right now is a miracle. There flies a dead duck. That's confidence, huh? Yeah. Was that better than the vegetable one? All right, yeah. This is a great famous quote by George Burns. Y'all remember who George Burns was? Charles, you got it there. The secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning, a good ending, and have the two be as close together as possible. You like that? I don't mind that either. I think that's pretty good. As long as it's truth and there's good stuff, I don't care how long it goes. So whether you're a brand new believer or you're a grand old believer, we all know that Jesus loved to do miracles, right? Jesus loved to do miracles. Healing was a key part of what he was all about. One of the things we love most about Jesus is that he was a miracle maker. We love the stories about how Jesus would help somebody in need. Think about any story maybe you know in the Bible that talks about when Jesus helps somebody out who was hurting. That helpless person, because of their handicap or whatever reason, they weren't able to be normal. But when Jesus touched their lives, all of a sudden, things were brand new for them. And Jesus healed hundreds of people like that. And it's great. And he only did ministry for 3 years. It's just incredible. But have you ever wondered what happened to all those people that Jesus healed physically? You ever think about that? What happened to them? Well, what happened to blind Bartimaeus? What happened to the boy that was healed when the Roman centurion father asked Jesus to touch him? What happened to Jairus' daughter? What happened to that young crippled man that was brought down from the roof and Jesus healed him? Whatever happened to those guys? What about that man with the withered hand or the woman that had the disease for 12 years that were all healed? Wouldn't it be fun to know what happened to their lives after the healing? I mean, they were like walking posters for Jesus' ministry. They're walking around going, I can't explain it. Look what Jesus did to me. It's exciting. I mean, now instead of being the dregs of society, now they could work, they could be in relationships, they could get married, they could live productive lives, or maybe before they couldn't because of the problem. God healed them. God touched them. But eventually, now I don't want to get too weird here, but eventually, what happened to all these people that got healed? Eventually, that is morbid sounding, isn't it? They kind of died, right? I mean, their bodies still wore out eventually. The Roman centurion's son eventually died. That one leper who came back to thank Jesus, eventually he passed away as well. Even Lazarus had to have a second funeral, if you think about it. How weird was that? And I'm really not trying to be morbid, but I was just wondering why. Why did Jesus heal people? It was really just a temporary solution to a bigger eternal problem, right? Wouldn't it have been cooler if Jesus would have touched people and they would have lived forever? Jesus, the fountain of youth. You know, people that you could just live forever here on earth and never die. And, you know, if Jesus would have touched people and that would have been like, that would have been kind of interesting, wouldn't it? And I know there are people that wish they could do that. I'm sure not one of them. I'm glad that eternal life is offered to me and to all of us. I'm glad that when Jesus said, whoever would receive me, believe in me, will live forever, won't die, but will live with the Lord forever. I'm glad Jesus said that, but man, I don't want to live forever here on this broken, cursed world with my body the way it is, you know? Yeah, exactly. So I ask this question again today. Why? Why did Jesus physically heal people, even if it was just a temporary blessing? I want you all to grapple with this question because I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know what he was about, who he really was. I want you to be able to tell others about that Jesus. Let me tell you about my friend. I want you to be able to say with confidence, like that old hymn writer that said, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. I want you to understand that part of Jesus, his healing ministry. Why did he heal people? Why was Jesus the miracle maker? To help to start to answer that why question, I stole this great quote from a person that was one of my professors in school and just a great man who started the Vineyard Church, John Wimber. This is what he said. Jesus always combined healing with proclaiming the kingdom of God. Think about that for a sec. He always combined the two. Whenever there was healing, it was an issue of proclaiming the kingdom of God as well. Through healing the sick, Jesus defeated Satan, and he demonstrated his rule. In the New Testament, sickness is seen as an extension and as an effect of sin, and is therefore evil in origin, representing the kingdom of Satan. I like what John Wimber says there. Healing had something to do with that battle. That battle between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Here are some Bible verses to back that up, just so that you don't think it's just someone's opinion. Look at what Mark 1:15 says. The kingdom of God is near, Jesus said. Repent of your sins and believe the good news of the gospel. Repent of your sins, believe, because the kingdom of God is near. Luke 10:9, Jesus tells the 72 that are going to go out and do some ministry in Paris. He tells them to go out and say this, heal the sick, and then tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. What an interesting message. How about Matthew 12:28? If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And he did drive out demons, by the way. Luke 17:21 is one of my favorite. The Pharisees, again, were arguing with Jesus like they love to do. They were talking about when the kingdom of God would finally come. And Jesus retorted to him, you won't be able to say, here it is, or hey, it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. And basically, Jesus is saying to them, and you don't even recognize it. It's here among you. So you might find it odd that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he never really defined it. What is this kingdom of God thing? And the people must have clearly understood. Even though maybe for some of us, it's maybe a question like, what does it really mean, the kingdom of God? Certainly it was not a political or physical kingdom, right? Jesus couldn't care less that Rome was in charge of, during that time, in that time period. He couldn't care less. He didn't want to be a king. He didn't want to take over the world. That wasn't what he was about. It was a spiritual kingdom, wasn't it? It was something really real that way. He was trying to restore the people little by little. I kind of look at it like trying to give a little taste of what maybe the Garden of Eden must have been like before the fall, before the sin, before Eve took the bite of that fruit. The Garden of Eden was that perfect paradise. And I see Jesus, when he's healing and he's preaching, it's almost like he's just shining little lights on this is what it was supposed to be like when it was all perfect, when there wasn't sin and crud and sickness and all that stuff in this world. And I think that's what the kingdom of God is. Showing us again, oh, that's what it was supposed to be like, because we have no clue what it was supposed to be like, because we've never had a clue about anything like the paradise of the Garden of Eden. Remember, Adam and Eve, they never got sick. They never sinned. They never had problems with disease. They never had addictions that they had to overcome, because they didn't need to medicate themselves, because everything was perfect. Everything was right. The plan was for humanity to live forever with God like that. That was the plan, right? It's good to go back and think about that. That was the plan. That was God's intention for kingdom here. But it all got screwy. It all got messed up when sin entered the whole scene, right? And believe me, we today in that 21st century, we live right in the middle of all that screwiness. It's a mess, isn't it? Sickness and disease and mental illness and addictions all around us because of Satan's desire to ruin us. Evil's desire to keep us down and keep us in bondage. But that was never God's plan. So I'm going to come back to that first question. What's the question? Why? Why did Jesus heal? Why did he heal? Have you thought about that at all? What, was it just because he was nice? Jesus was just so nice. He just had to heal people. Well, okay, yeah, sure. He was nice. He was great. But that there's more to it. Number one, I would say why Jesus healed, because it was all about restoring the kingdom of God. Go ahead and go to the next slide. There we go. To restore God's kingdom. Yeah. That's what it was all about. Satan had less of a hold on this world. As soon as Jesus healed someone, and whenever Jesus did that, Satan had less and less of a hold. Now, of course, only the cross, only the resurrection, that was the clear defeat of Satan. That was a clear defeat of death. But while Jesus was doing his ministry and he was healing and touching people's lives, gave us a taste of what God's intention really was. Okay? Kingdom. That's important, even though we don't think about it too much here in the United States. It's kind of like this. This is how I thought of it. And I don't know if this will make sense. It's like, this is how life is for some people. Every single day, every single meal, you have to eat canned green peas. How many people love canned green peas? Y'all put your hands down. You don't either. Don't even lie to me. I tried to find the ugliest green I could because that's my memory of canned green peas, was that puke green color and that smell. Whenever I'd get a hot lunch at school and I could just visualize still the cook going plunk on that tray of just this mushy stuff that was like, oh my word, who would dare eat this? What if you had to eat that every single day, every single meal? That's all you knew. It's all you knew. You'd probably survive. You'd probably feel full, but whoopee-doo, here we go again. Let's have some more peas every single meal, even for your evening snack. That's all you knew. But then what if all of a sudden you got this taste of honey, this spoonful of honey in you, and you taste that for the first time? Can you imagine? Or what if you take a bite of a juicy red apple for the first time ever, and it's like, oh, there's more. It's kind of like what I'm talking about. That's what the kingdom of God was doing. That's what Jesus was doing. He says, let me introduce you to some flavors here. Let me introduce you to what life is really supposed to be like. You guys are used to this. It's all you know. You think it's okay. Let me tell you, it's kind of boring. It's kind of a drag. Let me show you something exciting. Let me show you abundant life. That's why Jesus came. And that was part of the healing, was to show that and to demonstrate what his kingdom was all about. All right, let's go to number two. Another reason Jesus performed miracles was to prove that he was the Messiah. He had something to prove. He had to prove to the people that he really was from God. That makes sense, right? In fact, I think we've probably read some verses like that. To prove that he really was God, that he was using God's power to change lives. Once when John the Baptist, he sent some of his guys to go talk to Jesus, because John was maybe just a little bit confused. He couldn't quite figure out what Jesus was doing. I says, go ask him if he's really the disciples. Here, check out what Jesus said. Jesus said, you go back and you go tell John the Baptist this, what you've seen, what you've heard, these things, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. You go back and tell John that this is what's going on. And that was Jesus saying what? This proves that, yes, I am the Messiah. Exactly. Exactly right. Jesus performed these miracles to prove that he was sent from God. Third reason why I think Jesus healed the sick was for the obvious, the nice reason, is I think Jesus just cared. I think he just had compassion for people, and he hated seeing people hurting and suffering. You guys got to remember that back then there weren't a lot of hospitals. There weren't a lot of medications. It was rough. I mean, the average lifespan, 50 maybe at the most. It was rough for these people. And Jesus really hurt when he saw other people hurting. That's why Jesus healed. Well, let's do this before we kick it off here. Let's give a quick look at what kind of miracles Jesus did. As you think of all the different miracles, what's the one that comes to your mind? Help me out. What's one that comes to mind when you think of a miracle that Jesus did? Water to wine, good. Heal the lady with blood disease, good. Repairing the sight. Gentile's daughter. Yes, yes, good. What in the fish? A coin in the fish to pay taxes with, right? Oh, that was a cool one. What else? Lazarus back. I'm hearing so many that I can't hear any. I'm sorry. But fish, okay. Wow. Multiplying to feed 5,000, right? Exactly. It's cool stuff. Lots of them. Let's break some of those down into four or five categories. One category of what miracles Jesus did were the ones that defied nature, defied science. You want to show that you're from God, say, okay, here's the way the world works. These are the laws of science. Let's just mess with these a little bit. Like turning water into wine, right? How about this? Yeah, go to the next slide, Charles. Turning water into wine. How about, out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he feeds how many people? Over 5,000 with just that little group. You know, how does that? He walked on water. He did so many things to defy nature. He caused a storm to happen, and then he made it stop. And the disciples were so freaked out after Jesus did that, they said, whoa, even the waves and the wind obey him. This dude is scary. I mean, they were scared of him at that point. He defied nature. Really cool, huh? It's almost kind of funny to read the skeptics who will try to explain away these miracles. You know, those guys that don't believe in miracles, supernatural stuff, you know, they'll explain this stuff away. It's so funny. Thomas Jefferson, I don't know if you know this, he has his own Bible, the Jefferson Bible. He cut out all the miracles. He literally, with the scissors, cut out every miracle of Jesus because he didn't believe in miracles. And so he just read his Bible that had just all the other stuff in it. Isn't that weird? I mean, but that's how some people think. And even today, you can read about these people like saying, well, when Jesus was walking on the water, you see, he had these pontoons that people couldn't see. The disciples didn't know it, you know, or it was so shallow, he was really just kind of waiting. You know, they do all this explanation, like they try to explain it away. But let me tell you what, with the stories in the Bible, that the eyewitnesses who were in that boat, who wrote about the story, they put themselves in the story. Did they look good or bad in that story? They looked dumb. They looked dumb. I mean, and we'll talk later about Peter and walking on the water, all that stuff. And Peter jumped out in the water going, here we go, this is going to be great. And then, you know, all these, they look dumb. They look like they don't believe. If I'm going to make up a story, if I'm going to invent one and put some miracles into this that didn't really happen, but I'm going to invent it, I'm going to make myself look good if I'm going to write a story, right? I mean, come on. And plus, you know, add to that, these same eyewitnesses, they preached and they believed what Jesus did and what he said. They even died for believing, right? You don't die for a lie. You don't make up a story and then die for it. Anyway, these skeptics, they crack me up, those who don't believe in miracles. But maybe it's just because they just don't think they see any around them. The second type of miracle that Jesus did was casting out demons. This one guy that Jesus found in the tombs. Scary dude, scary, scary dude. No clothes on, chains around him. People could not tackle him. People could not hold him down. He was so strong. He would howl at the moon, the Gospels say, and he would cut himself with sharp stones. It was scary. The dude had a ton of demons in him, and Jesus delivered him from all of them. And sometimes they're even in the Bible, we look and we read, there's even times when there's even demons on kids. That's weird. I mean, stuff that's hard to understand even. Stuff was going on, and it's hard to explain, but here's what I know is that Jesus hated Satan so much, he hated what Satan was doing so much, that he brought wholeness to these people just by saying the word. He brought wholeness and completeness to them. He healed them by freeing them from Satan's bondage. What's another type of miracle that Jesus did? How about, here's a cool one, raising the dead. That's all. Raising the dead. Three different times that we know of that Jesus rose people from the dead. Pretty cool, pretty amazing. I mean, and just a side note here, by the way, if I die and you guys are around, please don't lay your hands on me and start praying for me to come back from the dead. Okay? Do I have your word? Right hand? I don't want no one praying for me when I'm gone, because I'm going to be up in heaven enjoying things. I'm going to be with the Lord, new body, everything's going to be cool. And I don't want to all of a sudden hear, whoop, oh, sorry, Rob, you got to go back. No, thank you. Stay away from me. If I'm dead, I'm dead. Okay? Got your word on that one? Just let me be. I've seen lots of physical healings. I've seen people delivered from demons. Never, ever seen anybody raised from the dead before. That would be kind of wild. That would be so amazing. If that happened, I bet a lot of people's knees would start wobbling. Pretty freaked out. I think my knees would be wobbling too. To defy physical death. Amazing. And then the obvious way that Jesus did miracles was worth some physical healings. Obvious, but think about it. Blind from birth, lame from birth, handicapped, paralyzed, deaf from birth. Jesus healing lepers left and right. Lots of people that with leprosy that there was absolutely no medication for. There was no way to restore these people. And Jesus loved to actually touch them, which no one else could do because it was a contagious disease. He would touch them and say, be healed. Love it. Over 30 different people in the Gospels are mentioned that they received a healing from God. I bet there are a lot more than 30, but those are the ones that we have recorded. The fifth one I would just put down is special knowledge, or this idea of reading minds. I don't have any graphics or any thoughts on this other than there are just times when Jesus knew exactly what people were thinking. And he just called them on it. You know, and even last Sunday, we talked about the woman at the well. When Jesus had that encounter with that amazing woman who was really radically changed, what did Jesus do? Without anybody telling him, without her saying a word, he says, yeah, let me tell you about your life history right now. Boom, 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 boom. And she goes, whoa. And she was completely radically freaked out by what Jesus said. It was a miracle. Boy, oh boy, did the people ever get excited about all of Jesus' miracles. The crowd started to grow. Oh man, it was just getting to that point where it was like over 5,000 people were following Jesus wherever he went. The gospel stories often have comments at the ends of miracle, you know, little segments. They'll say, and the people were amazed. I mean, today if we would write it, we'd say the people were blown away by what God was doing. They were filled with wonder, and they worshiped and praised God, often it says, because of Jesus' miracles. So why did Jesus heal? Again, primarily, it's to demonstrate God's kingdom. Jesus was breaking through Satan's control on the world, showing people what God originally intended for this life, for this world. He also healed people of the sick to prove that he was a Messiah. Plus, Jesus just had a heart full of love and compassion. He cared. His heart ached when he saw God's children suffering. So I want to close with a second question, just make this our kind of point of application to think about a little bit. Here's where we should bring this question to is, okay, great, I believe Jesus healed back then when he was here. How about today? Does Jesus still heal? Does Jesus still do what he did? And if yes, why and when does Jesus still heal? It's a good question. A couple of years ago, we went through the book of Acts, and we were all just kind of blown away. Every Sunday, I was just blown away by how often we saw people doing what Jesus said they could do. But Jesus, these people did what Jesus did. They healed people. There are people raised from the dead in the book of Acts, and Jesus was long gone. There are people that were lame people that were healed. All this stuff was going on. They were able to do what Jesus did. And that same spirit that was in Jesus, that same spirit that was in the disciples, the same spirit that was in the believers at that early church, guess what? That same spirit is still here today. And then that's something radical to think about, something radical to put your mind around, that the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is here today, and is, and the Bible says, is in every single follower of Jesus Christ. We have access to that same power. Wild. Today, God uses his people to fight Satan's kingdom. And it should be quite a force, the millions of people that follow Christ. We're able to give our friends and neighbors a hope, a glimpse of what paradise might be like. Let me read for you the most famous post-Jesus Bible verse about healing. It comes in the book of James. If you know anything about the book of James, it's kind of a real practical, it's kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's real black and white. You're going to see that right here. James talks about healing. Says, anybody sick? He just does that kind of general question. You should call for the elders of the church. Come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And when it says to pray in the name of the Lord, that was this idea of the authority. The name is the authority over the sickness, over the problem, over the issue. And then James says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. How black and white is that? Pretty amazing. And I really do believe this verse. I really do. I love to watch people pray. I like to watch you pray for people to be healed. I love seeing you pray for others. I love to pray for people's healing as well. Come pray with us Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, I want you guys, let's come. This is our monthly time. When we get together, we pray for this ministry. We need more prayer than ever before. We'll pray for you as well. Come see what God wants to do. As black and white as this verse is, I also realize that, yeah, okay, but you know, really not everybody, not everyone even in James's day was healed. I mean, not every time at least, right? I mean, because again, like I said before, all of them eventually died of something. Their body wore out. There was not this constant, perpetual healing going on in these people, right? So I believe that the issue that James is talking about here, that Jesus will heal you every time, I think James' main issue is this, that our confidence and our faith in the Lord is the main issue here. That how much do we really trust the Lord with our lives? And that prayer of faith is what makes people well. So what do we do when God doesn't heal somebody? What do we do? Our family kind of lives in that. For those of you that know, we've struggled for years with my wife's illness. And man, I tell you what, there have been prayers of faith prayed for her. Lots of faith, lots of prayers. And yet we're still waiting to see what God might do. It's hard to wait. Why did John Wimber, the guy I talked to you about at the very beginning of the talk, great, started the Vineyard Church, is a great man, healed hundreds, thousands of people, and yet he died early of a brain cancer. What's up with that? Or I'm thinking of maybe someone you even know in Beaverton, Ron Mell. Remember Pastor Ron Mell of the Beaverton Four Square Church? Largest church in Oregon at one time. Great church, great man. A great man. I'm sure he saw many, many people healed. I know he believed in healing. And yet he struggled and eventually died of leukemia. And so we kind of scratch our heads going, what in the world's going on? I want to believe this verse. I really do. And yet my reality, our reality around here is different. And I admit to you, it's a puzzle. There's questions I have, and we could spend a long time talking about that. Maybe in home groups you can discuss it, why you think that is. But let me tell you this quote that has helped me an awful lot these last days. It's a real simple quote. It's simply this: God won't always do what we want, but he will always do what is right. God won't always do what we want, but he will always do what is right. It's a statement of surrendering control. It's a statement that says, I don't maybe always know. I know what I want. I know what I think I need, but I'm going to trust God that he knows what's right, his way, his timing. I'm going to trust him for that. Yes, Jesus absolutely heals today. Not trying to put any doubt in your heart, in your mind, in your heart at all. Yes, We have seen, we have proof right here. We've seen big and small miracles. We've seen it over and over again. I want more. And I'm going to keep praying that God's miraculous power would keep working here, because I think it's a part of what really changes lives when we see it's obviously God working and not just us human beings, right? So yes, God absolutely heals and I want it more. But I acknowledge that miracles don't happen every day. Miracles don't happen every day. If they did, they wouldn't be called miracles. What's the definition of miracles? It's something rare. It's something special. It's something powerful. It's something unique. If miracles happened every day, we'd have to call them normicals. I thought of that yesterday. Normicals. Isn't that a great new word? I mean, but miracles are just that. They're miracles because they're special. They're unique. And it's something that God really wants to do. So it's exciting to wait for that. So when a lot of us where our lives are at right now, where we're feeling challenged by God, and we don't exactly understand why maybe God's not healing this or that, or what God's doing in some of our family and our kids and all that, what's going on? We're struggling. We're frustrated. We get to wait on God. We get to wait on Him, because often these challenges, they're meant to build us up. They're meant to give us that faith so that we can learn to pray with even more confidence. Faith that we can learn to trust Him more. Yeah, God won't always do what we want, but He will always do what's right. And He always has our best in mind. So some stuff to think about. Why did Jesus heal, and does He still heal today? Those are interesting questions. If you guys know us at all, you know that we believe in the supernatural, but we try not to get too weird about it. We're not trying to be odd weirdos. We're just trying to show light in dark places and believe that Jesus' power is just as real today as it was back then, right? That's exactly right. The secret, I think, to all of this is just to know Jesus. The secret is to know Jesus, to really know Him, to experience His heart, to experience the love that He has for you and for His people, for His creation. And while our lives here on earth certainly is not heaven, it's not heaven. And I think almost it's you know, that's okay. Because you know why? Because Jesus wants to give us once in a while these little morsels, these little glimpses of what it's supposed to be like. Because I think, personally, my take on it is, you know, I'm going to see a little bit of God's kingdom established on this earth, but all of it, whenever I see those little morsels of supernatural cool stuff, I think it's just supposed to make me homesick for wanting to be in perfection, to be back at paradise with my Father the way I was created to be. No more canned green peas for me, right? I think when we see the supernatural, it's supposed to make us hungry for heaven. It's supposed to make us want. Meanwhile, I'll do everything I can here on earth to establish God's kingdom and to take over the darkness with light, with God's power, but to realize that sometimes these miracles are few and far between for whatever reason. And when they come, man, we're going to celebrate that this is God's power. This is who He is, and He loves us. He's going to take care of us. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know the miracle maker? He sure wants to know you better. Let's pray. I love Your miracles, Lord. I love how it's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus did over and over and over again while He was here on earth. I love how He conquered things. He was bigger than the laws of science, and He did these amazing supernatural things to show us who You are, to show us what Your kingdom's all about. And I want to thank You for that example. Thank You for these beautiful accounts that we have saved, recorded for us. And I pray that we would really, really fall in love with these gospels and fall in love with You, Jesus. We'd love You more and more. And for those of us, Lord, who are challenged by the realities of life here that certainly are not heaven. This is a cruddy, cruddy, hard life sometimes that we have here. Lord, help us to trust You no matter what. Help us to put our faith in You completely. Help us to live for you and to expect supernatural things to happen, because it's you, God. It's you that you're in our lives, and the very same Holy Spirit is in us. Help us to expect you, and help us to keep our eyes on you and you alone. Anybody here, Lord, that is doubting, any skeptic that's here, Lord, may you just deal with them. Just speak to them. Help them to get their questions and doubts answered. Show them that you're God and that you love them. For those of us and people in our congregation, our family who are sick and aren't getting better, Lord, we lift them up to you again and ask for a miracle. We ask for you to touch their lives. What doctors can't fix, what the earth, what this world can't fix, Lord, you can fix. And we don't want to give up hope. We don't want to give up faith. And meanwhile, Lord, if the miracles don't come right away, teach us to wait. Teach us to hope. And may we never look any other way but to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Go be the church.